And Jesus sternly ordered him not to tell anyone about him. In Matthew's gospel, he says, basically, good answer. God gave that to you. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. By the way, this is the same person you worship today. He predicted this would happen to himself three times, and it did, just like he said. And after 3 days, rise again. I don't know about you guys, but if somebody predicts that to me and then does it, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. And he said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Sunday school, we're trying to figure out, what the heck did Peter tell Jesus? No, this can't happen to you. And one of the members said, quit messing with the Pharisees. They're bad news. They're going to get you into trouble. But it's kind of funny. Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him, the Messiah. And then, turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. So he called the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, and this is like a teaching moment right after that, he says, if anyone wants to become my followers, this isn't one of the John 3:16 verses, by the way. This is a hard saying, but this is for us. Let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. In Luke's gospel, he adds one word, daily. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels. May God add the blessings to the hearing and living of his word. So one of the themes for today is to think, and what Jesus is doing is kind of taking a survey. The Mance, we get occasional phone calls, sometimes for Rachel and a few other people, and get somebody from some political thing, and I, in a soft moment, I agreed to take his monthly survey because they do what they say. They just ask one question, you give a simple answer, and you hang up, say, see ya, thanks. But in today's world, every time you type a word into a computer search engine, or you swipe your card at a grocery store or a club, or engage on social media, which many of you do, marketers are watching and gathering data about us. The algorithm, I've heard that word used more in the last half year than I had my prior entire life, they use to gather information are a lot more sophisticated than back in the day when people had a clipboard and say, can I ask you a couple of questions, or called you on the phone, canvassing the neighborhood. In today's text, Jesus does a little bit of his own market research, polling his disciples on who they think he is, but it's clear that their preferences are not the same as his. Oh, some think that you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So, it's not very high-tech back then, but it is now, and it's amazing. You may even get coupons in the mail because you answered somebody's survey or clicked on something on the internet. When Jesus took his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi to give them a couple of poll questions, in this case, the survey was not so much designed to gather information, but an opportunity to find the brand of discipleship he was looking for from them. And a lot of times we worship God, and worship, by the way, is basically bragging to God. Evangelism is bragging about God. If you don't like the word bragging, just sharing your faith on God. We love you. We trust you. You're so amazing. And telling other guys that God makes a big difference in my life, and he's been there for me, and I know he always will. And just being yourself and being honest. With God, worship, vertical, and then horizontal with one another. It's kind of like the Great Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all you got, the vertical, just like worship, and then the horizontal is love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you're going to share your faith with them. Not heavy-handed, not holier than thou, not pithy little advice. People don't normally want our advice, but just tell them what's real to you. You may even begin that way. This is what I've experienced. And when you're sincere and honest and it's your story, people listen. And people listen, and it may even affect them. It may be just what they need to hear to encourage them, to build them up, to keep on keeping on, or just, oh yeah, like, I need to pray more. I want to pray more. So Jesus knew his disciples better than they knew themselves, and he knew that their preferences for the kind of Messiah they're looking for kind of needed refining and redefining. Here in this largely Gentile region, it's near the Cave of Pan, by the way, which a lot of people, that's where you entered into Hades, through the Cave of Pan. Jesus begins to turn his disciples' attention from their needs, because there is such a thing as selfish Christianity, or is there? It's basically all about me, you know. And really, we know that real worship, real Christianity is all about God. Jesus was all about me. Jesus was all about you and still is. For God so loved the world, he's all about the world. But he wants to turn his disciples' attention from their needs, their desires, towards what the choir just sang about, I'll cherish the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown, which is a much tougher sell. By the way, if you're going to try to sell Christianity, which I've been guilty of, here you go. You really want to be a believer, because more peace, forgiveness of your sins, the love of God that never fails, you'll know where you'll spend eternity and how. And by the way, eternity's a long, long time. And you'll have more purpose and power in your life. That's a pretty good sell, I would hope. But a lot of us, it's all about, what do I get? What's the payoff? And here Jesus is telling you, here's what the payoff is. You're going to take up your cross, deny yourself, and walk with me daily. So as they were walking, Jesus suddenly gave them the first survey question. Here it is. Who's the guy who used to do the survey? Those TV shows never die. I grew up with them, and they're still on. And the survey says, what's the word on the street about me? Who do people say that I am? Verse 27. And as they traveled with Jesus through the villages of Judea and Galilee, they collected data, bearing the buzz, feeling the pulse of the crowd. The crowd had a variety of opinions. For some, he's a free lunch. For some, like we looked at the lady last week, I'm desperate. My daughter needs healing. He's my guy. I'm going to him. We've never met before. I hardly know anything about him. She calls him sir. Then she calls him son of David. And Jesus connects with her and is wowed by her. And instantly her daughter is healed. That's what we looked at last week. A little refresher course. But one significant data point seemed to dominate the survey. The crowd believed Jesus was a prophet in the mold of John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the others who dominated Israel's history. You know what Jesus did, by the way, the day that his older cousin John was beheaded? Because he told the truth about the leader. He just didn't hold back. He just told the truth. Gave him his head on a platter. Jesus sighed is one thing he did. He walked on the water. Not he hadn't planned to. And he fed 4,000 people, 4,000 men, and more women and children. And the next day, his disciples said, if you'd only show us the Father, we'd believe. And if it was me, I've always told you I'd make the worst Messiah of all time. I said, weren't you with me yesterday? Good Lord. Speaking to myself, good Lord. But no, he doesn't. He just says, I and the Father are one. Basically, he says, you're looking at him. You want to see the Father? You want to know what God like? I'm him. That's one reason he ends up getting crucified. He does crazy stuff like do miracles on the Sabbath day, anti-religion, and then he claims to be God. So what's the buzz about Jesus? They think he's a prophet. And that was a radical interpretation of the data, but it wasn't quite radical enough. To the crowd, Jesus was kind of a throwback in an earlier age, and perhaps like John the Baptist and Elijah, he was the model of a forerunner of the Messiah. You know, the Jews, whenever they have the Seder meal, like we do on Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, the night that he was arrested and betrayed, he turned it into what we celebrate, the Lord's Supper. Washed their feet, even Judas, he washed his feet. He gave them the bread. This is my body broken for you, to Judas. Then he said, go and do what you got to do. The Messiah, Jesus, was much more than a prophet. But the Jews, they keep a seat empty around the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal, because they want Elijah to come back. Because when Elijah comes back, the Messiah is going to come soon thereafter. But their view of Jesus is rather myopic, even though the skewed lens of personal bias towards that as a prophet and a Messiah might really look like that. It's no coincidence that the story immediately preceding this one, Jesus heals a blind man who at first sees people but not fully, He has kind of not clear vision. Indeed, to him, they look like, the Bible says, trees walking around. And it took a second application of Jesus' healing hands in order for the blind man to finally see things clearly in perspective. So this crowd, too, including the disciples, needed a similar retooling of vision to understand the information about Jesus. So they talk about kind of the survey, what people are saying about him. You know, we have that same survey today. There's a lot of people, he's a moral man. He's a good example. He was a good teacher. A lot of people believe in him. A lot of churches are built for him. There's a lot of hospitals after Jesus. There are a lot of missionaries going throughout planet Earth doing good sacrificial efforts like our missionaries in Niger. Because they believe and they know he is the one, the Messiah. He is the hope of the world. So in his name they do acts of not just kindness but compassion and sacrifice to help people. So then we come to the survey with Peter's response. So he asks a follow-up survey question, not of what are people saying about me on the street, but who do you say that I am? And I'm telling you, he still asks that question today. And I really believe your answer is the most important answer decision you'll ever make in your life. When Jesus asks you, who do you say that I am? Peter, he's kind of an eager guy who today would be the first to participate in every online serving. Peter would probably get in a lot of trouble on the internet. And Jesus would probably say, don't get behind me, Satan, but you're following Satan. Get off the internet, Peter. I'm just guessing there. So this is what Peter says. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 29. Seems like the right answer. Mark has already told us up front that his gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Christ. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah.